This evening's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Luke. We'll be reading in the 8th chapter, verses 9 through verse 18. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 18. And it reads as follows. And his disciple asked him what this parable might be. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. And no man, when he hath lighted the lamp, covereth with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but putteth on a stand, that they that enter in may see the light. For nothing is hid, that shall not be made manifest, for anything secret, that shall not be known to come to light. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he thinketh he hath. And there came to him his mother and brethren, and they could not come at him for the crowd."
Again, with this reading, a very familiar text, the parable of the sower, or the parable of the ground or soils, as we sometimes think of it. Very familiar with the reading of this passage, aren't we? But notice, if you will, the application that's made in the latter portion of this reading. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16, in fact in verse 18, the simple statement is, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Listening is something sometimes we have trouble with, isn't it? Sometimes those of us who are husbands, and I'm going to pick on us because I'm sure we're the only ones that are guilty, we get in trouble because we don't listen too well. And sometimes when a discussion ensues, the accusation is made, "You just aren't listening. You're not listening." Well, sometimes, no doubt, God speaks clearly to us, and the problem is not in the means in which God speaks. It is how we are listening. It's important for us to see that listening is the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. Now, that's a good dictionary definition. In other words, if we're not listening properly, then there's not communication taking place. I'm told by those who have researched such things that our time is spent communicating about 70% of our time. About 30% is spent not communicating. But this is a breakdown of this 70%. 45% of it is spent in listening. About 9% in writing, 16% in reading, and 30% in speaking. But you see, out of this mass of time, a great portion of our time is spent listening. Now, what if we don't do that very well? Then there's really not much communicating taking place, is there? We must learn how to listen. Emphasis is placed time and time again in the New Testament on the importance of listening. Turn your Bible, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 15. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. We're simply going to observe some of these. We note in verse 15, Jesus is discussing John the Baptist, and he said, "Let him, that hath ears to hear, let him hear." John had something to say, and evidently Jesus had something to say about John that was worthy of listening to, or this statement would not be made. We see it in the parable of the sower in Matthew's account. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Listen to what is said. In the explanation of the parable in Matthew's account, listen to what is said. But then in the writing of the epistles to the seven churches of Asia Minor, we know that these were sometimes referred to as circular letters. That is, it would be read by one church and then forwarded on to another church or a copy of it, and they would read as well. And thus the importance of the words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Look in your Bible in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, addressed to those in Ephesus, in verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Again, in verse 11, to those in Smyrna, we see the same thing stated. Again, in verse 17, to those in Pergamum, "To him that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In verse 29, and likewise, you see this to be a common thread that is addressed in these seven churches to Asia Minor. "Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Listen is the thought that is repeated in these epistles, indicating that what is being said is something that is very, very important. Turn again, if you will, to Mark's account in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, the writer said, "And he said unto them, It is, or is rather, the lamp brought to be put under the bushel or under the bed, and not to be put on the stand. For there is nothing hid, save that it should be manifested, neither was anything made secret, but that it should come to light. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and more shall be given unto you. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath." You see somewhat of a positive approach in this passage. You see the flip side of that in the passage that we're using as a text in Luke's account in chapter 8 and verse 18. Not only take heed what you hear, but take heed how you hear. Listen carefully. I want to suggest to you that there are basically three types of listeners. Again, these are not unfamiliar texts to you. In Hebrews chapter 5, as the writer is writing concerning the priesthood of Christ and showing the likeness that it bears to the priesthood of Melchizedek, he says then in verse 11, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, "Of whom I have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing ye are become dull of hearing. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food." Two or three things we want to observe here. One is a reasonable time has lapsed in which they should have developed to be teachers of God's Word, but they are not. Now what's the problem? Is it the difficulty of the subject matter being discussed? No, that's not the problem, is it? The problem is the kind of listeners they are. They've not listened well. The writer said, "You are dull of hearing." Now, there are consequences of that. If you're not a good listener, there are consequences. Turn in your New Testament to Matthew the 13th chapter, where Jesus said, "You don't listen to me. You didn't listen to the prophets." In Matthew chapter 13, reading beginning in verse 14, he said unto them, "It is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them." Let us see here that listening becomes then the key to understanding, doesn't it? They didn't understand because they were not good listeners. They were not good listeners because they were dull of hearing. That prevented them from understanding what God said. That prevented them from turning from their sins. It prevented them from being healed or saved by God because they were not good listeners. And the same has application to us as well. Communication breaks down
when we're not good listeners. God does not communicate with us unless we're listening to what He has to say. And by that, beloved, we must understand that there's a great deal more involved than it just passing in one ear and out the other. It's not just a matter of words, but words being communicated when we listen to what is said. Now, I know that some of you involved in secular work, you go to seminars, I will call them that, for lack of a better understanding on my part, where you are taught skills necessary to communicating. Isn't that right? That's essential in your business. When you say something or someone says something to you, there needs to be an exchange of thought. And if there is no exchange of thought, there's been no communication. And if we're not a good listener, then we're not communicating. There's more to listening than just hearing. One may hear the words and still not understand, still make no change. Still, there is no effect of those words upon him. Though he heard the words, there's just not been communication. Now, question, do you want to be that kind of listener in the most important communication there is? Well, of course not. Of course not. There's another kind of listener, and that is a listener with itching ears. I find this quite interesting. We're familiar with the text of 2 Timothy 4, where Paul's last communication in this epistle, of course, is written to Timothy before Paul is executed. And he tells Timothy to preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. Now, itching ears. What we mean by that, and what Paul is indicating as he illustrates in this text by that, is men who want to hear it a certain way. Now, does that mean it's always said in a way that you just can't understand it? No, that's not always the problem. Sometimes it can be stated just as clearly as language can state it. But that's not what you wanted to hear. And so you heard what you wanted to. And sometimes the misunderstanding being on that end of things, sometimes the misunderstanding is simply because folks learned that's what you want to hear. So they don't say it right anymore. Now sometimes folks just deliberately say it wrong because that's what you want to hear. You have itching ears. Now, if you don't believe that that's so, let's look at some illustrations. In Jeremiah chapter 5, read with me beginning at verse 30. This Old Testament prophet says, a wonderful and horrible thing has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And when we see that expression, a wonderful and horrible thing, sometimes we look at that word wonderful and we somehow come away with a good impression. He's just talking about something here as enormous. But he says it's a bad thing. Well, what is it that's so bad? He said the prophets prophesy falsely. He said the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? This is really bad. What's so bad? Prophets are not saying it right. The priest, they're ruling or speaking by their means. In other words, the priest lived from that which was given to them by the people. So that which would, or those who would give them the most, that's what was taught. Do you see that? They sold their convictions to the highest bidder. You give me enough money, I'll say anything you want to say. Now, if you're going to quote Mick, you quote that whole sermon, you see. That was the attitude that these priests had. Give me enough money, I'll preach it like you want it. And unfortunately, there are preachers that are like that. We know that because that's what Jeremiah said. And you'll notice in the text in verse 13 of chapter 6, he said, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." What's that telling us? They're preaching it wrong because they can make more money that way. They were saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And you can read that in the text. Isaiah makes it real plain during his day in Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 10, they would say to the prophets and to their rulers, "Prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy to us smooth things, prophesy deceits." Now, can you imagine having your ears itch so bad you would be that plain? Tell me a lie. I don't want to hear the truth. You preach it like I want to hear it. Now, a fellow who has an attitude like that, he's not a good listener. He's not listening to what God has to say. These Old Testament prophets were very effective in telling the people what they wanted to hear. Because the text tells us in Jeremiah's day, they caused my people to err. Yes, they caused them to err. But they caused them to err thinking everything's great. No evil shall come upon you. Peace, peace. Everything's good. Now there are those that have itching ears. I want you to say what I want to hear. Now question, do you want to be that kind of listener? Listening then is important, isn't it? There's a third type of listener, and that is a listener that has an honest and a good heart. Brother Ken read to us about that from Luke's account in chapter 8 just a moment ago. We'll call your attention once again to that text. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 9 through verse 15, Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. They have questions about it. "Why is it that you speak to us in parables and explain this parable?" And he tells them, the parable is this, verse 11. But when you come down to verse 15, he said, "And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience." Here are some that want to hear it right. Now, does that mean there may be an application to be made in their lives where some changes will have to be made? Perhaps so. But they want to hear it right. They want to understand. And so they are described as those who have an honest and a good heart. Now, if you have an honest and a good heart, you're listening, and you see there are changes that need to be made, what are you willing to do? You're willing to make those changes. And wasn't that the case with the Bereans? If you turn to Acts chapter 17, you'll notice as Paul's custom was when he came into the city of Thessalonica, he entered into the Jewish synagogue. Note, if you will, as his custom was. You'll also note in verse 2, the latter part, that for 3 days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Now get the picture there. Paul has the Scriptures, and he's reading to them from the Scriptures. He's using the text of Scripture to show them who Jesus is. Now the importance of that is he's in a Jewish synagogue. They're familiar with the Scriptures. You would like to think that the advantage would be just that, that he could take the Scriptures and show these Jews that they are fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. You no longer need to continue to be a faithful, good Jew. You need to become a Christian and follow Jesus. So he takes the Scriptures. And the text tells us that he opened and alleged that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom, said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. Verse 4, some were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, being moved with jealousy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathering a crowd, and setting the city on an uproar, and assaulting the house of Jason, they sought to bring them forth to the people. Would it be a fair assessment to say that the multitude of the Jews did not like what Paul taught? They didn't like it. Well, no, they didn't like it. They were not represented as those with a good and an honest heart. It meant that they were going to have to accept something that they did not want to accept. They did not believe it. Now look, if you will, further in verse 10. It said, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now look again. That was his custom. That's where he goes. "And when he went into the Jewish synagogue in Berea," it tells us, "now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so." You think Paul presented anything different in Berea than what he had presented in Thessalonica? What then's the difference? The difference is you have some in Berea that are good listeners. Those in Thessalonica were not willing to listen. Now that's the difference, isn't it? Those in Berea searched the Scriptures. They received the Word with readiness of mind. They examined the Scriptures daily. Same thing he preached up there in Thessalonica, but an entirely different attitude on behalf of the listeners. Now with those three types of listeners, we again raise the question, what kind of listener do you want to be? Do you want to be one that's dull of hearing? Do you want to be one that has itching ears? Or do you want to be one who's willing to examine the Scriptures and make the changes necessary because you want to go to heaven? Now that ought to be a no-brainer, shouldn't it? But as we examine that, we need to see just how important it is that we be the right kind of listener. Let's go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, reading beginning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. "After Jesus has accused them of their hearts being waxed gross and their ears dull of hearing and their eyes they have closed, he said, lest haply," this is verse 15, "lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them." Now look at verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." He said, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear and heard them not." He said, "Hear then ye the parable of the sower." Now I want you to underscore what Jesus is saying in this text. There were those who wanted to hear the things that these heard. But we find there are different types of listeners. Some had their ears plugged up. They were dull of hearing. Some would close their eyes. They didn't want to see. Understand, beloved, that having a mind to listen was crucial, absolutely essential to them being blessed. Do you see that? If their minds were closed, they don't get it. If they've closed their eyes, they don't see. If they've stopped up their ears, they don't hear. But then he says in verse 16, "You're blessed." Why? Because you see. Because you hear. And because you understand. Now what makes the difference? Whether or not you're a good listener. Isn't that simple? That's not hard, is it? There's lots of great things to learn, but we have to be willing to listen. Now when he says in verse 17, "Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear and heard them not," we know that's true because Peter elaborates on that in 1 Peter chapter 1 beginning in verse 10. 1 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 10, he tells us about it. He says, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did point unto, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look unto. Now don't miss his point here. When Jesus is telling these who are listening, there are other folks who wanted to hear the things that you've heard and they didn't get to hear it. Who were some of those folks? These Old Testament prophets. They were looking down through the paper towel tube, if you please. All they could see was that little bit that was exposed through the end of the paper towel. They didn't see the whole. They wanted to, but they didn't get to see it all. They got bits and pieces. Why, even the angels desired to look into these things, and they didn't see it. And these are the things that you see. These are the things that you hear. How wonderful that is. When you read of these things being revealed, having formerly been spoken of as a mystery, he said, why, even the principalities and the powers in the heavenlies are in the heavenly places. They stand in awe and amazement at the revelation of God, because even these heavenly beings, they didn't understand what's now been preached to you. You see why Paul said that he was so privileged to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Let us look at what we have, beloved. The opportunity we have tonight to come together and read what God says is indeed a blessed privilege. Not everybody over the years has had that privilege. And think of what you have. What kind of hearer are you then when the message is preached or when it's read? Do you treasure it? Back during a period of history in what was called the Dark Ages, when it was looked upon as a bad thing to even have a copy of the Word of God in the language you could read, it was considered a treasure just to have a copy of it that you could read. You see, there was a period of time when it was not translated into a language that you could read, and that often on purpose, to keep the common man from being able to read it. So you had to depend upon somebody to read it in Latin and then tell you what it meant in German. Well, what if you couldn't read Latin? As my dad would say, you were hamstrung, weren't you? You were dependent upon that man to tell you what it says. Now, what a privilege it would be, coming from that circumstance, to have it translated into a language you could sit down and read it. What a privilege. What kind of listener would you be under such circumstances? You see, we miss out on these blessings if we don't listen carefully. We don't know what it says because we're dull of hearing, because we have itching ears. But if we have a good and honest heart, we read it carefully. We want to know, because through its message, we can be saved. Isn't that what Jesus said to those folks? Through its message, we can be saved. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Gospel saves. What a marvelous privilege it is to be able to read it. Faith comes through hearing, Paul said. What a privilege it is to be able to read it, so that you can know the great things that God has done, so that you can know who Jesus is, so you can read the evidence that He has presented that affirms His claim to be the Son of God. What a marvelous thing. The bulletin article last Sunday morning was on reading. Just simply reading. What a treasure you hold in your lap. How thankful to God we ought to be to give heed to reading. But in order to do that and be productive about it, we need to be a good listener. Because listening develops our faith. Now, what kind of listener are you? And when we think about the importance of listening, it's essential to bearing fruit. You remember that honest and good heart Brother Ken read to us about in Luke chapter 8, verse 15? It brings forth fruit. Now, what if your heart is the heart that we've described as dull of hearing? What if your heart is such as described with the itching ears that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Well, you're not going to learn. And because you don't learn, you're not going to do. And because you don't do, you'll be lost. A whole lot depends on how you listen, doesn't it? Bearing fruit comes from understanding. Understanding comes from the Word of God. Now let's ask ourselves the question. Only by listening can we understand God's grace. If we're not good listeners, do we benefit from the grace of God? Well, the answer is obvious. No. Being a good listener is important. It's important in preventing apostasy. You want to be faithful to the Lord? You've got to keep on listening. The Hebrew letter is written to people who were being tempted to return to the practices of Judaism, to leave their faith in Christ and to go back to something they thought perhaps was better. And the writer tells them in Hebrews chapter 2, look at it carefully, beginning in verse 1. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? Take heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. What's the benefit of that? It'll keep you from drifting. You've got to be a good listener. And keep on being a good listener. You see, if we ever allow our minds to become dull of hearing, to the extent this is old hash, I've heard all this before, I'm going to think about something else. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Then that's one of the first steps to apostasy. We'll be lost. Be a good listener. One other thought. It's essential to avoid rejection and condemnation. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out to preach? In Matthew chapter 10, read with me beginning in verse 14. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words as ye go forth out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom, or for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment, than for that city. Jesus elaborates, in fact, through this next chapter to help us to see the importance of that. In verse 40 of this chapter, he says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. But being a good listener is essential then, isn't it? If we reject those who said it and wrote it down for us, then Jesus said, you reject me. That's pretty serious. Furthermore, we note that we are judging ourselves unworthy of eternal life. We'll simply look at Acts chapter 13. You remember when the Apostle Paul went to Antioch of Pisidia and he preached in the synagogue of the Jews there, and some listened, but most refused him. The text tells us that he turned unto the Gentiles because the Jews had judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. They wouldn't listen to the message of life. Now that's just how important that is. Now, the rejection of what's said results in rejection of God. So it makes a great big difference about what kind of listener we are. Now, question. Some of you who work in the business world, you attend classes about communication, don't you? You see the importance of that. Communication is good in the conducting of business. It's also good in listening to what God has to say. Now, one of the things that's important is for communication to take place is stop talking. That's important. For good communication to take place, there is a time to speak, but there's a time to be silent. There's a time to just simply stop talking. In James chapter 1, James tells us, beginning in verse 19, James chapter 1, verse 19, "Ye know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." You ever find yourself when you're in a discussion with somebody finishing their sentences? You don't let them talk. You finish their sentence for them. How do you know that's what they were going to say? You say, "Well, I've heard it before." Maybe so. And maybe you've reacted the same way, and you still don't know what they're trying to tell you. Sometimes it's necessary just to stop talking and listen to what they're saying. When you turn in the Old Testament text in Nehemiah chapter 8, during the time of the restoration of Israel to the land of Palestine, there was a time when they are reading the law. Simply reading the law. It's been a long time since they've heard it read. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, pick up the thought at verse 3, where there it says, "And he read therein before the broad place that was before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and of those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." Look at that, beloved. Their ears were attentive to the book of the law. And it tells us that Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood in verse 5 when he opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up and they listened. Look at it. From early morning until midday, their ears were attentive to the book of the law. Do you see this crowd of people standing there milling around talking to themselves? They stop talking. God's law is being read. It's time to listen. That's a valuable lesson. It's time to listen. Stop talking. You see, does the proclamation of God's Word deserve your attention? Well, they evidently thought so. They stopped talking. They were attentive. Yes. Exactly right. Sometimes we're too busy talking to somebody else. Or I'm going to make the point. Texting during worship. You ever find yourself guilty of that? You see, with our electronic Bibles, it's pretty easy to have our gadget and looking up the passages. And that's all fine, well, and good. But the preacher don't know if you're looking up the passages or if you're texting the fellow on the row behind you. I don't know. But God does. God does. In fact, He knows whether or not you're texting somebody about lunchtime. He knows all about that. But you see, when God's Word is being proclaimed, it's time to listen. Isn't that simple? It's time to listen. Look further. Sometimes it's important for us to listen from the first to the last. Going back to Nehemiah chapter 8, from verses 3 through verse 5. The people stood up and they listened. And you'll pick that thought up again at the latter part of verse 7. "As these caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place, and they read in the book," verse 8, "in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense so that they understood the reading." Again, beloved, let me ask. Do you understand what's being said or communicated to you when you don't hear all of it? Distractions. Lots and lots of distractions. Let's just suppose, to illustrate our point, that we're trying to draw a line. A continuous line. Those of you who are mathematicians in the audience, you understand that when you're trying to connect something, right? Well, let's just suppose that that line also has represented in it voids because of distractions. You don't know how long they are. You're not real sure what they represent. But then the line resumes over here and it goes for a while longer, and then there's a disruption. There's a void. Well, let me ask you, beloved, does that line then lose any meaning to you? What does the line mean? What's its purpose? What's its significance? Does it really have definition when it has broad voids in it that have no meaning? What about a conversation? Can you keep up a conversation when you're distracted over here with something else for long voids in the conversation? Well, what about God communicating with us? My mind perhaps is different from everybody else. I'm sure that's the case. Because I find myself sometimes being easily distracted. Now, I'm sure you give grave attention without such disruptions. But for me, distractions are hard. To stay focused on something. And then if something distracts me, it takes a while to get back to where I was. You find that experience to represent your way of thinking, Richard? Sure it does. Does all of us. It does all of us. You suppose it's that way during a sermon? You suppose it's that way during a Bible class? You suppose our minds work that way when we're simply trying to read the Scriptures? Maybe then it's important for us to listen from the first to the last and remove the things that might be distractions to us. That's why we ask that you turn off your cell phone or lay it aside or put it somewhere where it won't become a distraction. You see, if we want to listen to what God has to say, we need to set aside those things that might be distractions. Listen to what God says. Listen to all of what He has to say. If we want to be a better listener, then read along in your Bible. When the Apostle Paul, and I call your attention again to the bulletin article last week, when the Apostle Paul said, give heed to reading, I don't want you to believe something because that's what Mick says. That's why these outlines are printed up. Not just so when I go from frame to frame, you will be able to reference something back. That's convenient, I know. But the idea is so you'll be able to read it from the text and know what the passage is. Read it from the text. Give heed to reading, Paul said. Now, we want our children to do that and to grow up learning to read the Bible, don't we? Let's communicate to them how important that is. Show ourselves to be a better listener. It may be necessary then at home when we sit down to read God's Word to make sure the TV's not on, to make sure that the computer is in another room or turned off. Make sure our cell phone is placed someplace else because the purpose of our listening is to understand. And with distractions, we're not reading, we're not understanding, we're not comprehending. This point I want to define. Listen with faith. When you turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, the writer tells us beginning in verse 1, and of course context is important. The third chapter of the book of Hebrews gives illustrations about their fathers in this period of time known as the wilderness wandering or the days of provocation, he says in this text. But as you look at chapter 4, the thought continues, let us fear therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them because it was not united by faith with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he hath said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'll leave that context, chapter 3 and chapter 4, with you to study. But the point being made in this text is God had instructed them to go in and take the land, and they said, we can't do that. This is a reference back to the time when the children of Israel did not go into the promised land. And they wandered in the wilderness till that generation died. And why? The text tells us because of unbelief. Well, it wasn't because God had failed to tell them. They did not believe what He said. The text tells us that though the promise had been given to them, It did not benefit them or profit them, verse 2, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. They heard what he said, they just refused to obey it. Now there are some times where we falter. You see, the listening that we're talking about here is the listening with the willingness to believe what is shown to be true. God had demonstrated time and time and time again that the land was theirs. Go in and take it. In fact, Joshua and Caleb said their defenses are removed from them. God will fight our battles. He's with us. And they did not believe it. And they wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. Isn't that simple? So when you listen to what God said, you listen with the willingness to obey what He said. In John's account, in John chapter 12, in verses 37 through verse 42, we note a little expression there, because of their hardness of heart, the text tells us, they could not believe. Now we could talk about that at some length, but we're out of time. But I simply want you to see is here the heart dictated what they understood. They could not believe. Because they didn't want to. They just didn't want to. Now sometimes that's where we wind up. If we don't listen with faith, the Hebrew writer is warning, we'll fall short of that heavenly rest. Listen then with a mind to act. Ezekiel makes this so plain. Turn in the Old Testament text of this prophet in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 30. Chapter 33, verse 30. Where there he says, and as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Jehovah. And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and that play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now what kind of listener are you? They heard it. They would come and sit at the feet of the prophets. Like listening to beautiful music. Then they'd go away and forget all about what they'd heard. They didn't do it. Now, if you want to be a better listener, you determine, I'm going to do what it says. Now, if that means change, then I'm willing to change. James used the illustration of a man who looks into a mirror. And he walks away. And what? He forgets what manner of man he was. Here's the man who hears and doesn't do. If you want hearing the message to do you any good, listen to it. Concede that that's what I need to do. I must change that. As important as good listening may be, the blessedness comes only when you do what it says. Isn't that simple? The changes have to be forthcoming. Now, if there are no changes, then you might have heard the words, but to no profit. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Now the question remains, just really, what kind of listener are we? Is there communication that takes place? You see, if there is no change, then there really hasn't been successful communication. And that's what we're interested in tonight. That's what God wants. He wants to communicate. And He does that when He speaks with us. And we communicate with Him when we speak with Him in prayer. But the change is effected when we do what He says. Now, how do we listen? How well do you listen? Are we dull of hearing? Do we have itching ears? Or do we hear with a good and an honest heart? The desire to obey. Perhaps I'm talking to someone tonight who would be desirous to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's your desire to change the way that you're living. Would you then tonight confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Nothing could be a greater step. Maybe you've done that and you've not lived the kind of life that you know you need to live. Perhaps you've heard the words, but they haven't been compelling to you. You'll never hear any better words than when you listen to what God says. Why not tonight? You make your life right tonight, and we can help you make that known while we stand and sing this song.